This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Andrea Bernstein. President Obama spoke in Cairo yesterday, working to engage the Muslim world. New York Times reporter Michael Slackman has been collecting responses to his speech. Michael joins us from Beirut, Lebanon. Hi, Michael.
Hey. Nice to be here.
So one of the things that I was noticing that among the responses that you collected is the pattern of speech that Obama had was like a prayer service, the typical kind of speech that a Muslim might hear when going to the mosque on a Friday.
You know, one of the most difficult things that international leaders have is giving a speech to a different culture, particularly one that speaks a completely different language. If you know, when Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, sends letters to the West, they often sound stilted and almost goofy because he's writing them in Farsi, and to the Farsi ear, they sound right. President Obama yesterday crafted a speech that actually sounded familiar to people here. It was brilliantly crafted, according to everyone that I spoke with, because it was this blend, as you said, of religion, politics, and, you know, inspiration. And that's what they're accustomed to hearing at their Friday prayer ceremony.
From your interviews with people on the ground, do you think that this speech will materially change anything in the Middle East?
Well, I can tell you it has immediately. There has been an immediate increase in the amount of goodwill that the president and, by extension, the United States has around the region. The thing is, it's perishable, and it will be contingent on whether or not do people here see it followed up by actions, not just words. And the folks who are, you would consider in the camp in opposition to the United States, who have no interest in seeing U.S.-Muslim relations improve, like al-Qaeda and at the moment Iran, that's what they're focusing on. They're saying, it's all sweet talk, wait and see what happens. So he will have to, the United States will have to follow this up with some kind of a deed.
I understand from your reporting that some of the speech in which he sort of, you know, he talked about the Holocaust and he talked about Palestinian aspirations for a homeland, while speaking to those separate communities and sort of saying, I feel your pain, at the same time, he inflamed passions on the other side.
Well, the speech was crafted a little bit like the speech that, if you recall, he gave on racism in the U.S., where he said to black audiences and white audiences, you both have a point, but you also need to consider each other's side. That's not something people here were ready or accustomed to hearing, and it, in fact, did, as you said, inflame quite a lot of people. The notion that he drew some moral equivalency between displaced Palestinians who have not had a homeland and victims of the Holocaust made everybody angry.
We were speaking to Rami Khoury yesterday, who's there in Beirut, and he was actually upset about the fact that the president referenced 9/11. Have you heard much of that in your reporting?
No, I actually haven't heard that. I mean, in fact, the president has gotten tremendous kudos, generally speaking, for not using the word terrorism and abandoning the rhetoric and phrases used by the previous administration. His goal was to have a clear split from the Bush administration, and it seems he achieved that.
By not mentioning the word terrorism, you mean not inflaming the Islamic world, who felt like the previous administration had conflated Muslim and terrorist?
Yeah, absolutely. He talked about extremism, and he was very clear that the United States will have to take a firm hand against extremists. But he tried to do it in such a way, craft his words in such a way, that he wasn't saying all Muslims.
All right. Thank you very much. New York Times reporter Michael Slackman has been collecting responses to President Obama's speech in Cairo, and he was joining us from Beirut. Thanks very much, Michael.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Andrea Bernstein.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.